Well, good morning, one and all.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And I want to concentrate, as we come to the end of our study, there's an assembly or two left yet here in Luke chapter 10, but we're drawing to a close our study of this wonderful parable set before us. And I want us to read verse 33. To the end, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading from his precious word. I want us to look at 3 things concerning the Good Samaritan. He had compassion for the injured man. He came to the injured man, and he cared for the injured man. All of which was in complete contrast to the actions of the 2 others who are mentioned in this story, the priest and the Levite. In fact, the first verse we read together, verse 33, you'll notice it begins with the word, but. A word that usually introduces something of a contrast. And of course there is a great contrast between the actions of the Samaritan and the priest and the Levite. Now I want us to look at these 3 matters. Likely not get through all 3 of them today, but I want us to look at them, remembering that here in this passage, this Good Samaritan is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are features, characteristics about this person that reminds us of the Lord Jesus, and we can learn about the Lord Jesus as we study this person set before us by the Lord Jesus. Let's first of all look then at the fact that the Good Samaritan had compassion for the injured man. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now he didn't know him. Wasn't as if he was saying, oh, that's my neighbor, I know him, he's a nice man. No, he didn't know him, he had never met him before. But he had compassion. He had compassion on him. And that compassion that he had caused him to act as he did. The priest and the Levite, they slipped on by because they had no compassion. They had no feelings of sorrow, of sympathy for the man. This world is void of compassion to a very large degree. You do find it. And where you find it, you find the grace of God at work. Theologians explain the workings of compassion that is found oftentimes in the lives of those who are not Christians, are not saved. They explain that by using a term called common grace. And that refers to the influence of the gospel upon the population generally, where it's preached, of course. Even though it may not be actually believed and embraced, nevertheless, it has an impact upon the hearts and the minds of the people, and as a result, they manifest a degree of kindness one to another. But where you find deep compassion, self-sacrificing compassion, then I feel that you can trace the grace of God within a heart and within a life. And of course, the compassion that is in the Lord Jesus Christ is that born of the great grace of God toward men. I chose that hymn that we sung this morning because it sets forth the uniqueness of the love of the Lord Jesus. And the hymn writer was correct to start off the hymn by saying, there is no love like the love of Jesus. never to fade or fall till into the rest of the house of God he has gathered us all. Oh, boys and girls, it ought to be a study on your part, the love of Christ. It's worthy of our study, of our deepest consideration, tracing through the Bible where you have references to it, and you will discover that his love is most extraordinary. Of course, the scriptures are full of examples of the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus. I think of the widow of Nain. Do you remember her? She was burying her only son, but as she was with the funeral procession, taking him to the graveyard, unknown to her, she encountered Christ. And we read, and I'm reading again from the Gospel of Luke, it's the chapter 7, and it's the verses 12 and 13. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, isn't that an amazing coincidence? 10 minutes later, the funeral would have been passed. Maybe even 5 minutes later. But the Savior's timing is perfect. He came nigh to the gate of the city, and behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her, because they felt for her. There was sympathy for her. But their sympathy could do nothing for her. Oh, the limits of human sympathy. And when the Lord saw her, it's always interesting to note the titles that are given to the Savior. It doesn't say, and when Jesus saw her, but it says, when the Lord saw her. Because he is about to demonstrate that he is the Lord. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not, weep not. And that seemed a most strange command to give. This woman had lost her only son. She was a widow. There was nobody else left in the family. And the Lord says, weep not. Stop weeping. And of course he did that. He said that on the basis of what he was about to do. What he was about to do. I have no doubt that his command caught her attention. He spoke to her before he wrought the miracle of raising her son. Because if he hadn't spoken to her, she likely wouldn't have seen the miracle actually take place. I'd say she was bowed, head bowed down, maybe her face covered with her hand or with her garment as she wept. And she wouldn't have seen the miracle had not the Lord spoken as he did. Weep not! That was a startling command. And it must have aroused within the mind of the woman the most conflicting thoughts. What does he mean, weep not? Does he not know my circumstances? So he had her attention. And then he touched the coffin, commanded the lad to rise, and he did. And he restored him to his mother. A wonderful miracle. And it all was born out of the fact that he had compassion on her. Listen to me, boys and girls. There's many a blessing will come into your life because the Lord had compassion on your mother or your father. He heard their prayers. His heart was moved with pity for a mother or a father. And he blessed the son or the daughter. You remember that? You remember that? There's so many verses that I'd like to remind you of concerning the love of the Lord. But here's one. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse 19. And it's one of those verses that appears to have a contradiction. Look at it. Ephesians, the chapter 3 and the verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, that's almost the equivalent of saying, and to know the love of Christ, which can't be known. And it's true, it can't be known except with divine help. The world out there, they know nothing of the love of Christ. They'd argue with you. In fact, many times when there's a tragedy of any form, you will hear the cry go up, where was God? What was God doing? I'll not answer that question today, but you know, it cannot be challenged that God has manifested and shown his love. And so great is it that it is beyond our understanding, except we're helped to see and to know it and to comprehend it. He opens our eyes and we behold that there is one to help us, one who loves us, one who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. And there's no greater expression of love than that which was manifested by the Lord Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested, revealed, put on show the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the payment, the atonement of our sins. Calvary is where the love of God is exhibited in all its purity and all its glory. Oh, this Samaritan, unnamed, shows for us, pictures for us the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Then, as we said, His compassion moved Him. He came to the man. There wasn't a degree of pity that was limited that said that poor man, look at what has happened to him, but there's not really much I can do for him. I'll just slip on down the road. Wasn't a limited form of compassion like that. But the compassion of the Good Samaritan was such that he came to the man, irrespective of the danger that he placed himself in. He came to the man. Now, he only had to cross the road, which would be about the equivalent of crossing this room. That's all he had to do, come to the man. But boys and girls, what a journey the Lord Jesus took in order to come to you. He had to do much more than cross a road, much more. I could never explain it better than by reading to you the words of the Apostle Paul as we have it in Philippians and the chapter 2. And here's a passage I want you to often read. Please, often read. It tells you clearly what the Lord Jesus did for you. It tells you clearly, and yet it tells you, to use a word that you might not be that familiar with, it tells you succinctly, neatly, compactly, not in long, long, long sentences or in great phraseology, but nicely packaged together, so that you have no difficulty in understanding what it is the Savior did for you. Boys and girls, I want to appeal to you. As we come to this passage, you come to it with deep reverence. Deep reverence. Listen to what it says. I'll start at the verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Simply stated, He was God. He had every right to call Himself God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Never take the name of the Lord Jesus lightly, for He is God. So then He was God. Verse 7, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the journey the Lord Jesus had to take to reach you. He was God, sitting upon the throne of glory in heaven, and He saw you and millions like you. And He left the throne and took every step that was necessary in order to become a good Samaritan to you. Let me emphasize what is said here. Verse 7, He made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the journey our good Samaritan took in order to rescue us from the consequences of our sin. from which, just like the man on the side of the road, from which we would have died everlastingly had not the Lord come to our aid. Oh, what a journey the Savior took. He came to the man. He humbled himself. He got down there in the dirt and began to minister unto the man. And do you know something? The man didn't even know it. He was likely unconscious and didn't know it. How many of you today don't know that Christ is kneeling by your side and ministering unto you? How many of you are so caught up with other things that you don't realize that the Lord of glory is humbly kneeling beside you, caring for you, looking after you, delivering you from the consequences of sin? I love the verses that are found in abundance in the Word of God that highlight just what the Lord did, what He bore, in order to be our Savior. I'm going to read just in closing some verses from the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. You older ones can quickly find these verses, I'm sure. Isaiah 52, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. That was the sufferings of Christ for sinners. Psalm 22, verse 6. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. That's the Lord Jesus in order to save you. Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. How often the Christian hides their face from the Savior. He is such a spectacle of woe and misery and shame that, like Peter, for a time, a short time, we don't want to be associated with him. I don't know, because he was such a spectacle of woe. Then in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That good Samaritan went over there, and as he kneeled down in compassion and sorrow and grief for the poor man and his injuries, he set about the task of helping him with the joyous hope that he would see him recovered, that he would deliver him from dying there, the side of the road. And everything he did, the expenses he put himself to, was in the hope the man would be healed. You see the parallel. The Lord Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What was the joy? Of seeing you in heaven. That's a joy to Christ. A joy that we can't even begin to comprehend. Oh, what a picture of the Lord Jesus, the Good Samaritan is. I hope that that picture, like pictures around this room, is pinned up in your heart, never to be forgot. Let's bow in prayer. Grant your blessing, Lord, upon your word today. Oh God, fill us with something of that joy that thou didst have as we anticipate the victory that undoubtedly our Savior will gain when he brings the last of his people to heaven. You're going to recover the sinner wounded by the wayside. You're going to see him fully recovered and made in your own likeness. Oh Lord, give us understanding of these things, I pray. And bless the school today with all its needs. And bless every heart here, especially among the young ones here, Lord. God have mercy upon them, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.